3.
And a very good morning to you, London. It's October the 8th, and the year, very shortly, will be 1973. And on the programme, we look back at 30 years of LBC, the first commercial radio station on the air. You'll be hearing how it sounded on the very first day, looking at some of the major news stories, memories from past and present presenters and employees, and Eric Wiltshire is here to look at how technology has changed over those 30 years. Do not move away.
This is LBC 97.3. Serving London for 30 years.
At 1 o'clock, I'm Claire Miller.
LBC 97.3.
Steve Allen.
Well, as they used to say, abandon hope, all ye who enter here, because we go back this morning, 30 years, to the very beginning of LBC, and there'll be very few of you who remember those very first halcyon days of broadcasting. It wasn't the best radio station, it has to be said. Most of the presenters didn't have the faintest idea what was going on. The backstage crew didn't also know what was going on, but come hella high water, the station got off the air. Between now and 5 o'clock this morning, we shall look back with the help of you, on the phone on 0870 9090973, to the first time that you remember hearing LBC, the first programme you heard, what got you hooked onto it, and some of the favourite things that you enjoy listening to. Plus, we'll take your emails as well, steve@lbc.co.uk, and you can send in as many as you like this morning, and we'll try and weave in as many as we can. Between now and five, we shall take you back to the very first broadcast. We shall catch up with some of the former presenters and employees of LBC. We shall have lots of memories. Some bits I haven't even got the faintest idea what they are. They're just marked down as question mark. And that always kind of worries me on programmes like this. So if you want to contribute to the programme, the first time that you heard LBC, the very first commercial radio station on air, we'll play you the first ads, we'll play you the first jingles as well. We've got all sorts of things. It's an absolute cornucopia for anybody who's been listening for any more than about 5 minutes to this, the first commercial radio station. So if you want to contribute to the programme, 0870 9090 973. Where were you when you first heard LBC? We shall tell you our memories. Eric Wiltshire is here to look back at how radio and technology has changed over 30 years. And it really has, especially as we were saying only a couple of mornings ago, even in these studios, now it's all touch screen and, you know, this moves here and that moves by itself and everything else. So do send us your emails with your memories and the things that you remember and where you were when you first heard it. I, of course, was in bed listening to Jeremy Beadle at the time, a programme which I thought was the most bizarre thing I'd ever heard, but totally addictive, and his style has not changed. A little bit later on, in fact, actually, in about 10 minutes, we're going to be having our quiz. It'll be the quick quiz, but the prize this morning, because it's an LBC quiz, all the questions are related to LBC past and present. So if you want to take part in that, give us a ring now on 0870 9090 973. Prize this morning is the LBC 97.3 pen. There's also the LBC 97.3 mug. And also for collectors of LBC memorabilia, there is one of the very rare invites. In fact, I think it's the only one in the entire building that we gave out to our celebrity guests for the 30th birthday party, which we had a couple of nights ago. And you can win that as well. In fact, I happened to go downstairs and I thought, oh my God, thank God there's one actually left. And it's very nicely emblazoned and it's got Sandy Toksvig's name on it and all sorts of things. So if you want to win that on the quiz, give us a ring. There are, I forget how many questions we've got for you this morning. 15 questions. So we're looking for, as I say, some you will know, some you might not know. But either way, it'll be interesting to find out just how much you remember of LBC over 30 years. And when you cast your mind back 30 years and you remember that the Sports Personality of the Year in 1973 was Jackie Stewart, the programmes that were shown on the television, Dad's Army was in series number 6, Are You Being Served was only into its first series, Last of the Summer Wine had just kicked off, and Love Thy Neighbour was already into series number 3. We'll tell you the big films later on, and who we said goodbye to. But we also celebrate a birthday, because believe it or not, one of the first broadcasters on LBC was Belle Mooney, and it's her birthday today. So many happy returns to her. And also Angela and Bob in Pratt's Bottom, and Uncle Jack Delvin and his wife wish us a very, very happy birthday, which is quite nice, because I should imagine 30 years ago, and I was not here 30 years ago, contrary to what people are saying, I should imagine there was all hell breaking loose behind the scenes, people getting ready to do the first breakfast show. But how did LBC open up? This is how we first hit the airwaves.
is London Broadcasting, the news and information voice of Independent Radio. Welcome to LBC at 6 o'clock, October the 8th. My name's David Jessel, this is The Morning Show, and here's the news.
All very staid, wasn't it? But that's how it was. Apparently, hands were shaking behind the scenes. Technicians were rapidly trying to cobble together something that had never been done before. But here's how we reported our existence in the very first news bulletin.
Britain's first commercial radio station went on the air just a few minutes ago, and you're listening to it. London Broadcasting Company, an all-news and information service for London, will operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The company will also be supplying a news service to 60 other commercial stations, which are to open in Britain, several of them within a few months. Messages of goodwill have poured in to London Broadcasting, including messages from the Prime Minister, Mr. Heath, Mr. Wilson, Leader of the Opposition, Mr. Thorpe, Leader of the Liberal Party, Lord Aylston, Chairman of the Independent Broadcasting Authority, and Sir John Eden, Minister for Posts and Telecommunications. Messages have also been received from Sir Reginald Goodwin, Leader of the Greater London Council, and Sir Desmond Plummer, Opposition Leader of the GLC.
It's amazing how dated it sounds, doesn't it? 30 years ago, it's almost, "Hello, London. I'm speaking to you from the capital." And we were at the time, but where were we? That'll probably form the basis of one of the questions in the quick quiz in a few minutes' time. Some of the other things, I could give you a complete potted history of LBC, which I shall give you now, just in case you think that nothing has happened over the years. We were the first commercial radio station on air, days ahead of Capital Radio. February 75, bit of a shaky start. At the time, LBC was going through what was commonly known as union troubles. We had a couple of very strong unions at LBC. One of them looked after the engineering side, and one of them looked after the journalists. And if one didn't come out on strike, the others did. Five times in 3 months, LBC went out on strike. In fact, it got so bad at one point, the management were brought in and they played music. Apparently, it did very well in the ratings. But of course, we weren't supposed to do because it wasn't part of the licence at all. Now, in 78, LBC relaunched itself and the unions once more went on strike. So out came the management again to play yet more music. By this time, the management saw themselves as disc jockeys. In fact, they had to. We used to have a programme in those days called Morning Music. It was presented by a variety of presenters and some management figures. It seemed to go through most of the day. In fact, every so often you got the bing-bongs coming in, which made you at least well aware that LBC was still there. 1982, the audiences climb, and the station finally won over its critics, all those who said that you'll never make a speech station work in London. Well, we did. 1986, rapid growth attracts the New Zealander David Haynes. David Haynes came along with the LBC chairman, Sir Christopher Chataway, and took the station through a merger with Crown TV Productions. And we took on Brian Hayes. We had sort of combative presenters, and Clive Bull, of course, was already well established. 1989, new legislation enabled the radio stations to broadcast different services on AM and FM for the first time. LBC, unfortunately unsuccessfully, relaunched as LBC News Talk, 97.3 FM, and LBC Talkback on AM, which had the combined total of four presenters. Me, Mike Dickin, we had, who else was it as well? I'm trying to think, we had Douglas Cameron, and there was somebody else, it could have been Steve Jones actually, and we made up the total station, 4 hour speech programmes. It was an absolute marathon. By the time we got to 1990, rising costs, falling revenue was affecting the industry, and slipping audiences, excuse me, prompted drastic measures, stringent budget cuts and redundancies. Both services were trimmed down. I remember coming in one day and somebody going, "Oh, by the way, we've had to cut that, and that's got to go, and that's got to go," in an effort to save lots of money. The time we got to spring of 1990, along came troubleshooter Charlie Cox. He parachuted in from Australia and relaunched LBC as LBC News Talk and hired Angela Rippon, Michael Parkinson, Frank Boff and Andrew Neil. But it was the rabid anti-establishment Australian Mike Carlton who presented The Breakfast Show and Richard Littlejohn who caught the headlines. Littlejohn was accused by the radio authority of inciting violence over one show, while Carlton's attack on the royalty brought much opposition. 1992, Charlie Cox had turned it around. He turned the operation into profit 2 years after taking it over with losses then running at about £4 million. January 93, just as the station returns to profitability, the receivers were called into the parent company, Crown. A consortium led by Dame Shirley Porter's son picked up the now profitable LBC. She became chairman and Charlie Cox quits. September 93, LBC loses the licence to LNR, a consortium put together by Bruce Furman, backed by Guinness Marne, which was due to take over in 94. So we woke up to the news that LBC had lost both licences. Not the best news we ever could have had. October 93, LBC abandoned its plans to take the Radio Authority to a judicial review over failed licence renewal. Mike Carlton and Richard Littlejohn, as usual, being particularly vitriolic about the Radio Authority, but board members hit back, branding Mike Carlton a pompous, overbearing, overpaid, imported Aussie. I shall say nothing. I do know that he managed to get a new Jaguar and a very nice house in London out of it, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. March 93, LBC went into receivership. But you were blissfully unaware. One executive observed at the time, we didn't think we needed to bother the audience with little things like that. April 94, LNR bought LBC 5 months before it was due to take over its two London frequencies. By the time we got to May, Reuters had bought LNR. Then by the time we got to October, LNR, London News Radio, relaunched with the LBC name intact, but completely new format and presenters. But the listenership plummeted, and the output was criticised by the Radio Authority chairman, Lord Chalfont. August 95, rumours were abounding that Reuters were eager to pull out. November 96, the Harrods owner, Mohammed Al-Fayed, tried to buy the station, but failed. February 96, GWR, ITN and the Daily Mail and General Trust buy the majority of Reuters' stakes in the company. By the time we got to 96 and the 1st of July, LNR relaunched London News Talk as LBC 1152. ITN took editorial control, with golden oldies such as Anne Diamond hired, but seen as a retirement home for ITN after primetime newsreader Julia Somerville shunted off ITV and was given her own radio programme. By the time we got to the year 2000, and we are encapsulating this for you this morning, the ownership of LNR was restructured, following an asset swap between the Daily Mail and General Trust and GWR, the owner of Classic FM. GWR took control, but the listenership still fell. 2001, ITN was wrapped by the watchdogs, you'll remember, for recycling news from its TV channels on News Direct. By the time we got to September, ITN, Reuters, GWR and DMGT sold out to Chrysalis, our current owners, for £11 million. In November, we started signing people. But just before that, Mark Flanagan, a former journalist and Chrysalis operations director, was appointed managing director of LBC. First person to be signed up was Caroline Faraday. By the time we got to November, Simon Bates had been axed for The Breakfast Show, the first high-profile victim. By the time we got to November, Jane Moore had been signed up alongside BBC Breakfast presenter John Nicholson to host the new Breakfast Show when the station relaunched on January the 6th. December the 4th, 2002, Angela Rippon was signed as arts correspondent. Also in the new lineup, Katie Derham, Penny Smith, Frank Partridge, Krishnan Gurumurthy, and the former Mirror Showbiz columnist Matthew Wright. And the station still evolves to this day. 30 years of LBC. It's a lot to get in, but between now and 5 o'clock this morning, we will attempt to do it with the help of presenters past and present, and who knows, some even future. And we'll look back at the technology and how it's changed. We want your memories on 0870 9090 973. And if you want to take part in the LBC quiz, now is a very good time to call. We have 15 questions for you. If you think you know LBC, this quiz could prove you hopefully right. So give us a ring, 0870 9090 973. Up for grabs, the LBC 97.3 pen, the LBC 97.3 mug, and one of those valued invitations in platinum, I have to tell you, to the LBC 30th birthday party, an evening hosted by Sandy Toksvig. Want to take part? Call us right now. It's only 1:16. Got a long way to go.
LBC. 30 years in the making.
I'm David Jessel, the very first voice to be heard on LBC back in 1973.
Welcome to LBC at 6 o'clock, October the 8th. This is the morning show, and here's the news.
From the very first voice, 30 years on, happy birthday, LBC.
LBC, 30 years in the making.